This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne here, and thank you for listening. There are certain etiquette rules millennials either don't know or will not follow. Is this on purpose, or are there a set of rules that they'll follow? And if so, what are they? Joining me to discuss millennial etiquette is Monica D'Imperio. Thanks for joining me, Monica.
Thanks for having me, Mason.
Could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
A little bit about me. Right now, or just about a year and a half ago, I started a hashtag lifestyle, which is a social media marketing and influencer consulting agency. What I do is help luxury brands and celebrities connect with affluent millennials. And how I do that is through digital strategy, content creation, and influencer partnerships.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of stuff.
Was that a mouthful? Yeah. if it's digital, let's just put it this way. If it's digital, I do it.
Oh, wow. That's like that's totally a millennial thing. Anything digital, that's your game, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, recently I was in a meeting, and this is actually what prompted this whole like segment. There was this young guy. He had his phone and he was constantly playing with his phone. And, you know, maybe he was checking emails, you know, and he was paying it. He was attentive, but he was still playing with his phone. And I was like, OK, I'm just going to deal with it. It happens. No big deal. And later on that day, I emailed him and I was like, hey, these are the points. I need this back ASAP. And it took him about 4 or 5 days to get back to me. And it wasn't the fact that it took 4 or 5 days to get back to me. It was the fact that during our meeting, he was playing with his phone and it takes him 4 or 5 days to get back to me. And I started thinking, is this just a common thing for millennials or is this the modern day etiquette?
Wow. I think it's funny that you say that because that's such a common thing. Is like, you know, well, first of all, he has his phone in his hands at all times, so he could have responded to you immediately.
Exactly.
And I think, I know, that's like the part that kind of pisses people off. Like, you know, like when you send a text, you think, you know, me as a millennial, I'm like, I want to respond immediately. So I think like on one hand, millennials want instant gratification, but on the other hand, they also are sort of procrastinators.
Oh, wow. You know what, though? But you're right about the texting. Like, you can be having a back and forth with somebody, and then all of a sudden, it just drops. And it's like, man, what happened? I thought we had a good momentum. I'm starting to think, like, am I a little bit too old-fashioned? Or, you know, am I just being too anal about it?
I don't think you're being too anal. I think that, like, you know, I grew up in an era. So early on, I grew up in an era where we didn't have cell phones. I actually had to call people on my landline, and it was so much fun sort of, like, getting calls and, like, sort of hiding in your bedroom and things like that. And so, like, I don't know, nowadays people actually, like, these kids, I'm calling them kids, though, 10 years younger than me, they grew up with, you know, having cell phones in their bedrooms. They're on them at all times, and I think that they're just in such different places than I am as a person. So, I don't know, I think it's, texting communication is so weird in the sense that I don't know if you feel this way, but I will text someone and then I'm always scared. I get nervous texting anybody, everybody. I'm like, should I be the last texter? Do I want to drop that ball? I don't know if I should drop the ball. Do I want to send the last emoji? Will they feel like they need to one-up me if I send this emoji and they send another emoji, like the kiss blow, is it over then once they send, you know, send a kiss blow? And yeah, I think that texting has made it really hard. It's so funny. It's supposed to make it easy for us to communicate, but I've almost think it's made it harder for us to make genuine, authentic communication.
Oh, absolutely. And it's also changed how almost business is done. Like, when you're sending out emails, usually I started off with a hello, Mr. Such and Such or Mrs. Such and Such, you know. Now you just see like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, I don't know how to respond to that sometimes.
You're really lucky if you even get a hey. If they say, hey, what's up, it's usually what's up. Or it's a message. I think we're so used to this short form communication that formal business procedures like, people aren't sending out, hi, Monica, how are you? How's your day going? I just wanted to let you know X, Y, and Z. Talk to you soon, Susan, whatever. It's not like that anymore. People are just trying to cut to the chase.
So is it appropriate now? So, like, should I not be like, oh, you know, can I write back just like that? Or is those bad habits I shouldn't start forming?
I think you have to pick your battles between being formal and colloquial. With people that I don't quite know yet, I try to maintain formalities until we get through about 15 emails exchanged. You know, you go through this big back and forth email, and then if you're setting up a time for something, you can finally say, 10, 15 is good for me. See you soon. Then you can sort of drop it. But I think initially, just like on the street, you know, it's just like human contact. On the street, you wouldn't go up to someone and say, like, why did you do that? They'd be like, who are you? First of all, you'd go up to them and say, hi, I'm Monica. I noticed that you threw something on the floor. I was wondering why you did that. That's a formal sense of communication. You would never go up to somebody and approach them without sort of introducing yourself.
Oh, I love how you said that about not knowing a person yet, because I have a younger cousin. He's like, God, I want to say he's 26 or 27. And he likes to go out on dates and, you know, like, okay, whatever. But he always ends up telling too much information too soon. And I keep telling him, hey, you gotta reel it back in. You can't tell him all this stuff, because what everybody in our family thinks is, you know, oh, we love you. It's just the way you are. Anybody else is going to be like, oh, what a weirdo. So I'm like, you have to at least wait a couple months before you can spring the weirdness. But it's that, right. That's something that a lot of people do. Like, they just kind of lay it all out there on the first date or the first meeting. And I'm like, is this a millennial thing?
I do think that is a millennial thing. It could be a male thing too. Men, so the thing is, okay, I'm an online dater, and I will say that men tend to be in some ways more like, it's millennial men, they tend to be a little bit more vulnerable while they're talking to women, and they disclose all of these things about themselves, because I think they haven't had to face the kinds of things that we as women have to face. Like, I'm always worried about someone that's catfishing me, or meeting up with someone and like having them be a little bit off. So I think I'm less prone to, I'm a very open, like, once you meet me, I'm a fully open book. Online, you would never know that, and it turns some guys off, that they're like, where do you live? Like, I don't want to give my exact location. I don't want to exactly say where I work. I don't want to give all of my information away, because I think there's a little bit of a danger there, in my mind. I've never, fortunately, had anything bad happen to me, but I think men never see it that way. So it could be a millennial thing, but it also could be a male thing.
Oh, yeah. I can see that being like a millennial thing, though, because I've seen some women do that, too. And I don't know. It's kind of off-putting. You know, I'm part of that generation too. And it's like, that's things that I wouldn't do. But, you know, a lot of, like you've said, people put out what they've just eaten that day. You know, they're putting out where they've just been at. And it's kind of, I don't know. I think that's just too much. I don't know. I like my privacy.
Yeah, you know, I am the one really bad millennial etiquette that I am 100% guilty about is, capturing every single thing for social media. I think it's definitely a faux pas, but I can't stop myself because I'm a content creator, and I know that I want to save this picture of French toast, or, you know, take a beautiful picture of this street art that I saw, because I'm going to post it somewhere at some time. So every time I'm with friends, I'm always stopping to do things. I'm like, wait a minute, you can't bite into that food. Definitely a millennial thing, and it's not a good habit to have.
So it's not. So let's say, like, not everybody is, you know, content curation here. So when would be an appropriate time to take photos, and when would it not be?
I think an appropriate time to take photos is, I mean, if you want to throw it back to the old days, to capture a memory that you want to have forever. Like, you and a group of your friends from college are getting together. Hey, bust out a camera. You're together for the first time. You're in a bar. Have someone take a picture of you and kind of be done with it. And I think, like, capturing memories are always going to be important. When it's not good to do, I would say definitely don't take a picture on a date. Try to limit your brunch photos. if you have any. You don't need to take pictures of every one of your brunches. And I think also just like in business situations, like your phone really shouldn't be out. You shouldn't be like sitting there during a meeting taking a Snapchat selfie and then sending it to all of your friends because you're bored. That's when it's not good to do.
You know, I recently spoke to someone about an adulting school, and I wanted to know your take on why do you think millennials need an adulting school to begin with?
That term just makes me laugh so much because it's never anything that I grew up with. It's like, you know, you just knew you were going to grow up and become an adult. And I think now this generation below mine hasn't quite grasped that concept of, well, how am I going to pay my rent and then go on this like lavish vacation and then also go out to eat with all of my friends? Because I think, you know, you have Instagram now, and Instagram is so visual, and it looks like everyone's doing cool stuff at all times. And that's another reason to create content, is because you can save that photo of brunch or the Eiffel Tower or street art and post it to your Instagram, and people won't know that you're not there, and that'll excite people and say, well, she's in Paris right now. How is she always in Paris? Or how is she always in a bikini? Why is she always doing this stuff? So it sort of gives people like the younger generation, millennials, gives them this sort of like jealousy, and they feel like they need to compete. So I think like they're not really putting their priorities in check, which is why adulting is so hard for them.
I don't know. Like, I thought about like when I was growing up, my parents would always sit there and tell me, you can be anything you want. You can sit there, and by the time you're 20, you're going to have a house and you're going to be married with, you know, three kids and, I don't know, like a dog and a cat. And, you know, I got older and I realized, oh, man, there's a lot of work to this. And, you know, then you went to college because that's what everybody was doing. And, oh, my God, I can't afford this college tuition anymore. I have to work three or four jobs. I don't know. I just feel like after a while, you know, what they were selling me was a bunch of bull. And it's like, now they're wondering why I can't adult. And it's like, well, the reason why is because you sold me, you know, a bunch of dreams that, you know, was not that easy to obtain.
You know, I could also see that point, too. I did not have parents who were pushing me to pursue the American dream. To this day, my dad still tells me, do what makes you happy, do what makes you happy. And I'm completely following my dream right now, and it makes me happy. And part of that dream just hasn't yet been to get married, buy a house, have kids, and invest in stocks or whatever. That just hasn't, you know, been part of that. But I think, like, you look around, and this American dream is changing. I think a lot of millennials are wanting to become entrepreneurs. They're seeing that 9-to-5 work life that their parents worked or their grandparents worked isn't for them. They're kind of getting this like FOMO, if you want to bring out a millennial term, and saying, well, why can't I do this? Well, you can. So they start these side hustles, and then their side hustles become businesses. And I think once they're pouring themselves into work, family becomes a little bit less of a priority.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, when my grandfather, when he was working, he was able to get a pension. So when he retired,
yeah,
he had two pensions. He had his Social Security. You know, my father, the same thing. He has I think Vanguard or something like that. And he has his own little pensions and his money put away. And, you know, those don't really exist anymore. There's no pensions. So it's not like I can sit there and work somewhere for 40 years and expect to get something back. You know, as a millennial, you have to jump from job to job because now it's almost like the title. So you start off as like a cashier, and then you jump to another place and you become head cashier. Then another year later, you become like the manager of the store, and then the regional manager. And you just keep jumping and jumping and jumping from different store to different store. And that's eventually how you end up making your money. But you're absolutely right about the side hustles. I mean, that's something I've seen too many millennials do, is have their own little side thing where they may make like $200 and you know, a month from, and like Etsy or Craigslist, they're buying and selling. And it's kind of exciting to see that kind of aspect coming from a younger generation.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, it's a different sense of workmanship. They're not working for that pension. They're sort of working almost for, in my mind, I think they're kind of working for a certain sense of fame. Because, you know, when you say, like, oh, I have an Etsy store, people are like, oh, you do? Cool. Like, what's on it? Or, like, you know, designing your own t-shirts or anything you're doing, I think there's this sense of cool when you're creating. And yeah. I think a lot of those jobs where you got pensions, like, were not creative. And I think that people are starting to rebel and say, well, if I'm working in a finance job, like, I kind of want to do something that, like, makes me happy on the side if I can't do it as my full-time job.
Do you think, though, that some people, like, mostly millennials, are a bit unrealistic when it comes to what they should get a salary for a job? Do you think, like, their expectations are too high?
I think that millennials' expectations for salaries are insanely high, and I haven't quite figured out why they believe that when they graduate from college, they should make $100,000. I've been in situations where I've had people who are 10 years my junior. I was working in a PR agency, and I had a girl who was about 10 years younger than me who was, you know, she sat there, like, doing her Snapchat all day, and I ran a social media department, you know, so, of course, you can't really, like, yell at her about being in social media because you want her to be, but her attitude is very much like, well, I went to this awesome school on the West Coast, and I did this and that, like, don't you think, like, I should get a promotion? Or, you know, she quit to try and, like, work at another agency to make more money. She's like, I just need, you know, I deserve to make more money. I can do your job. I'm better at this. Like, they believe because they are digital native and then, you know, having gone to school for a bachelor's degree, that gives them the right to be whatever they want to be.
No, you're right about that. You're absolutely right about that. I've seen a lot of people. Like, when I was growing up, one of the biggest things to go to school for was graphic design. And this was graphic design. I'm guilty of it. I actually took, I was going to major in graphic design, and I'm glad I didn't.
Oh, my God. Wait, I need to say that was, I don't know what year you graduated high school, but I graduated in 2000, Y2K. It was like, it's Y2K. The possibilities are endless for the next generation. So you're like, whoa, we're going into the 2000s. So what I wanted to do initially was, it wasn't called graphic design. It was called visual communication. But it was really graphic design. Okay. It was just like designing stuff to communicate visually.
A couple of years later, and it's graphic design. But I remember everybody wanted to do graphic design, so everybody wanted to go into web design, or they wanted to go into, like, advertisement. And, you know, I jumped out of it because I realized early on, thank God I didn't go, like, halfway through. I realized early on, like, man, they're gonna be like dime a dozen. I need to do something else. And it was a lot of my friends who did complete graphic design, they're like, oh, I should get paid all this money. And it's like, whoa, you need to hold on there. There's like 10 other people who can do graphic design. And guess what? There's now tutorials on YouTube, and 13-year-olds can do graphic design too. So you need to rethink your position here.
Right. Definitely. Dime a dozen profession. I think that's another thing with millennials. And I even think about this with myself. It's like, what can I do to set myself apart? Because I'm somebody who has a social media consultancy. Every single person on the planet believes that they're really good at social media, so they can be your personal social media consultant. But I have to sort of put myself in a niche and also do things that just make me a little bit different, because it's really what I love. So I'm not going to not do it, but you just have to set yourself apart.
You know, I'm glad you said that, setting yourself apart. A lot of things that I do, like sending out thank you cards and telling people, oh, I really loved, like, having you on and all this other stuff, I do it because that makes me stand out. And I'm not being sincere about it, but it's just, I know a lot of people in my generation, they're actually kind of, I don't know how to say it any better. They're very rude and kind of assholey. So I try to set myself apart from that. But, you know, I'm starting to think, you know, maybe, is it okay that I can be a little bit blunt and rude? You know, nobody would notice? Or should I still try to set myself apart from the rest?
No, I think it's good to set yourself apart from the rest. I think that, I live in New York City, and I am a Midwesterner at heart. I grew up in Chicago. And coming here, I realized that I set myself apart just by being Midwestern. Because so many people here are, I love this city very much, but so many people here are definitely blunt, which I am too, but it's in a different way. So I think that having the sort of like genuineness, authenticity that can only come from growing up in the Midwest sets me apart naturally. And I never want to let, and I will never let that go.
Well, thanks for coming on, Monica. I really appreciate it. Where can people listening, where can they find you at?
People can find me on Instagram at Monica D'Imperio. People can find my social media services at #lifestyle.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne, that's all one word, and don't forget to share the show with your friends.